Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I never wanted to be a pastor. I was quite determined I would not be one. I was about 12 years old, I think, or so, maybe 11, give or take. I was at the church that I grew up at, Messiah Lutheran in Auburn. I was in the youth room with a bunch of other kids and Pastor Steve Olson. I remember there was a conversation going on that I was vaguely participating in. A couple of the other kids were talking about ministry and such. And I remember Steve saying, "Well, I think someday Chris is going to be a pastor." And I remember saying, "No, that will never happen. There is no money in it." That's what I said. Yeah, that was at least partially right. And Steve just kind of smiled and nodded. And life went on and such, and I didn't give it a lot of thought. I remember every once in a while kind of letting the thought pass through my head and then really quickly shoving it off into a corner somewhere, so I didn't have to think about it too much. I remember in confirmation, I chose a verse, my verse to be read in my confirmation, or my affirmation of baptism, to use the language they use today. And the verses I chose, I forget exactly what it was, but it was something in Revelation that had this reference to priests and such, and I had chosen it because I was kind of thinking about it, but I didn't want to tell anyone. So it was kind of my little in-joke to myself, I guess you could say. And years went by, and I continued to say, "Nah, it's never going to happen. I'm going to do this or that or whatever." And when Sarah and I first met, we first started dating, we had a conversation about, "What do you want to do when you grow up?" I gave her this big list of things. I don't remember what the whole list was, but apparently in that list, somewhere in the middle, I wedged the phrase pastor or ministry or something along those lines. And it was something I was considering, but then quickly moved on to other things. And she told me years later that she knew in that moment that that's what I was going to wind up doing. And fortunately, she still married me, so, you know, that's cool. When I finally realized that I was wrong, and I finally realized and accepted the fact that I was feeling this call into ministry, it was about the same time that Sarah and I had gotten engaged, and we were meeting with that same pastor, with Steve, to talk about wedding planning. And we sat down at a Starbucks, and we were drinking our coffee and had our conversation about the wedding and the plans and what we would do and all this stuff. And I remember very distinctly that, let's see, from your perspective, I was sitting in the middle. Steve was on this side, and Sarah was on that side. And we'd gotten through all of the wedding stuff that we were going to talk about that day, and there was this awkward silence, and I started fiddling with my cup. And Steve just kind of looked at me with this quizzical look on his face. And I looked over at Sarah for support. And she just shook her head and said, "I'm not going to do it for you. And we've been here long enough that you can probably hear her saying those words to me." And so I looked back at Steve, and he just looked confused. And then he got the biggest grin on his face. Just this smug grin. Just this incredibly smug grin. And he folded his arms, and he leaned back in his chair, and he just kind of said, "So, which seminaries are you looking at?" I'm not Moses. I'm not trying to make that comparison. I'm nowhere near that. So please don't take that as the reason I share that story with you. But we're talking today about call. Call is really the story of Moses, or at least this portion of it. And it is something that we all experience, whether or not we recognize it, whether or not we are willing to accept that notion that we are all called. Your very presence here today, your presence here in this room today, is an example of call. Mike and Regina sharing their music with us today. Thank you for that. is an example of call. The way that you interact with each other, the way that you interact with those outside of the walls of this building. There's a phrase that we use a lot in Lutheran circles called the priesthood of all believers. Some of you have heard that, some of you have not. And the idea of the priesthood of all believers is that we are all called as priests. We are all called to be connected with God on an intimate, personal level. That it isn't about me as your pastor somehow facilitating that. That each and every one of us has a relationship with God. That we are all a priesthood. And call can be scary. And it can be confusing. And it can be intimidating. You ever stop to think how weird that whole burning bush story is? I don't mean just the fact that you're having this story about a bush that's burning and not being consumed. Don't take this the wrong way, but whatever. We see all sorts of things like that in the Bible. That I can swallow. That's not the thing for me. The thing for me is how weird this is in terms of any other time God calls someone. When God called Noah, what happened? How is it described? Do you remember? It's more or less just kind of a voice. It's not really given any sort of tangible form. When God calls and speaks to Abraham and Sarah, generally speaking, it's just kind of God does it. Elijah, Jacob, all these other examples of call that we have are relatively simple. There's no big production. There's no burning bush that is not consumed. There's no need for that kind of theatric. And yet with Moses there is. With Moses we have this description of something that defies our explanation. Why do you think that is? Because Moses was more stubborn. Because Moses was thick-headed. Because Moses was not that different than you or I. Did you notice what he did when God said, "Here's what I want you to do"? He said, "No. And here's my excuse." And then God shot down that excuse. And so what did he say? No, here's my other excuse. And so God shoots down that excuse. And the story didn't continue because, let's be honest, today's reading was long enough as it was. But God says, "Here's what I want you to do," two more times. And you know what Moses says every time? No. I'm not the right person. You've got the wrong number, God. Go after somebody else. I'm just this guy. I'm this random goat herder out in Midian. I'm quite content to stay here. That's my life. That's who I am. That's what I will be. Please leave me alone. Did God leave him alone? No. That's not how call works. When God calls you to do things, when you were living out a life of discipleship, no is an option, but it's not one that's going to work. And every time that you try to put up a barrier, God's going to say, "Yeah, that's cute. A for effort. But I'm just going to step over that. What you got next?" Because we both know how this is going to end. And given that you're you and that I'm God, I think we know who's going to come out on top. I'm speaking for God there. Obviously, I'm not claiming to be Moses. Let's make that clear. And I'm certainly not claiming to be God. Let's make that clear. And that is because call is not about us. It's not even about Moses.
It's about what God can do through us. Call is about what God can do through Moses in this story. We've talked a lot about the call of this congregation, the call of this community of faith, the call of the individuals in this congregation, the call of the individuals alongside this congregation. Part of having faith in God is having faith in God's faith in us. That's not made, I don't say that to make us think that we're all that. What's the expression, all of that in a bag of chips? I'm so not cool. But it's not about us. It's about God's faith in us and God's faith of what God can do through us. To be arrogant for a moment, God didn't call me into ministry because he thought, well, you know what? This guy's going to totally fall on his face. That'll be funny to watch for a while. God calls us because God knows what can be accomplished by God through us. Moses denied God 4 times. Peter denies Jesus 3 times. But Moses says no to God 4 times. But how many times does God tell him, no, this is what you're going to do? 5 times. Moses does not win this argument. He gives it his all. He tries. It's really, you know, kind of adorable in a way. I say adorable because, let's be honest, if you're going to place your bets on who is going to win that argument, God or Moses, Moses is great, don't get me wrong. There's only so many people from that many thousands of years ago whose names we're still, you know, using today. But I'm pretty sure God's going to beat him. I'm pretty sure God's will be done. The pastor I worked with in Ohio several years into his ministry wrote a little thing that I want to share with you. I can't remember if I have shared this with you before or not. He simply called it my call. It was something that he wrote to summarize how he saw God at work. And I want you to listen to this, and I want you to realize that this is not just about Pastor Bob Hamilton in Bucyrus, Ohio. That these words are appropriate for you and for me and for all of us. My call. My call depends on God's greatness and my willingness to follow in faith where God would lead the way. Trusting that God will be with me every step of the way and that God will provide everything I need to accomplish the task God has called me to. And it may, and it probably will, require a great deal of work and sacrifice on my part. But when all is said and done, God will be glorified, and I will be extremely pleased and satisfied. May we each live every day of our lives reflecting that understanding of call. Let us pray. Most holy, good, and gracious God, we thank you on this day and always for the chance to reflect on you and your word. We thank you for the opportunities to gather together in your name, to build things in your glory. We ask you to help us to continue to find ways to walk faithfully on your path, and to help this institution that we know as Bethel Lutheran Church continue to reflect you and love you and glorify you in whatever way, form, and shape it must do. We lift all of these things, giving thanks to you, and in your holy name we pray. Amen.